All right. Hello. Welcome to the General Knowledge Force, the podcast where we talk about the things that you wish you knew all in about 30 minutes. It is I, your main man, Kevin, and my dear friend, Shane. Shane, say hello to everybody.
Hey there, everybody. How y'all doing?
All right. So I know it's been a while since we've had a podcast just because, hashtag quarantine 2020. So please forgive us. I know this is something that we just kind of just do for fun, and luckily we've just finally had a chance to do it. Okay, so getting to it, for today's episode, I really wanted us to focus on homes. Shane and I were kind of gotten a conversation the other day where I was just like, oh my gosh, this is such a great topic for us to go into, just because I know Shane is a landscaper, and I know his goal is to become, what did you say, a hermit?
Oh, a mountain hermit. Yes. Eventually, I want to be a mountain hermit. That is the end game goal, if one would say, for my life.
So it's like you really just want to have that plot of land out on like 10 acres of land.
I'm talking, I want 50 to 100. I want to first acquire at least a good 30-acre plot and then perhaps expand as I age.
Do you know what you would even do with all that land?
My goal is I would like to have a farm that is, I'm going to do my best to make it self-sustaining and hopefully just be able to build a house on it. And that's it. Just live life.
Just have, like, a good have time. Just have this ginormous farm that can just maintain itself.
My ultimate goal is I would really love to purchase a pot of redwood, some sequoias, just have a big plot of land that's got a lot of young sequoia growth and try to get it protected and let it just grow and do its thing and just help preserve that part of the world and plant more and more, and it will help with everything.
So refresh our memory. Sequoia? What is that again?
That's a redwood tree.
Oh, okay. Is that tree kind of endangered right now or something like that, or
the redwood, is that just your favorite? So the ancient redwood sequoias were the ones that all got harvested for the railway ties way back in the day, and they were some old growth trees that were 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years old, and those trees are all gone just to make an obsolete thing, industrialized thing across the world. It's kind of sad, but I mean, it really helped. If we're talking about, production, but, that's a different topic. But it sucks that those trees died. But they're technically still alive because all those trees are connected via the roots. And, they have direct clones of them and other saplings that they've made. So that tree's not technically dead. It's still alive via the root system. That whole forest is all connected. It's wild.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's wild. I apologize.
Oh, you're good.
Going on my rants. But yeah, I would love to just have a big plot of land that has a big grove of redwoods and just try to get that protected. That would be my ultimate goal, and have a farm that's self-sustaining on it that I can also probably produce some sort of income off of the land as well via organic farming, and maybe provide food to everyone around, a little Stardew Valley, basically.
Yeah. Go full on get out of Stardew Valley. So Shane, I know that you've also done a lot of work inside of houses.
True.
Did you once make your own little sauna in someone's house?
Oh, yeah, I completely refinished basements over in Triple Crown. That's what I did for a living. I'm basically a fully licensed general contractor. I used to run my own crews up in Ohio. I've built 2 daycare centers up in Oxford, Ohio. We've refinished I don't know how many basements, just fully an unfinished basement, going in, putting all the plumbing, running all the framing, doing the electrical work, building just everything. From scratch.
Yeah, and that's
doing incredible. All the finishing work.
But just so everyone knows, Shane and I are from the Cincinnati area, so you may see us referencing things as Shane just said, Oxford, Ohio, or Triple Crown, which is in Kentucky, just because of the location that we are in. So how much does it cost to like do these improvements on your home?
I mean, technically for the all the supplies, it doesn't really cost that much. It's just really the labor and having just a skilled person and somebody licensed and all getting somebody to an inspector to come in and make sure everything's to code. That's where all the finances start to add up.
I can imagine. Like, that's even when you're first buying a home, that's such a huge thing. Like, I know I'm going through the process of like browsing homes, looking into what kind of home I want for my very first home. I remember I was just looking at this one house the other day and it had already the full inspections available. And I was looking through this and I remember I was just like, oh my gosh, what on earth? Like, it was a house that looked very beautiful up front with all the pictures, but when we looked at the inspections, it was just destroyed. Shane, I showed you that. Remember that?
Right. Yes, you did show me those. It was kind of rough. Like, on the outside, the home may look like it's in great condition, but that's just an exterior thing. If you go in and all the structural integrity of the home is damaged or aged or rotted or there's issues with the appliances or the electric, anything like that, you have to make sure that you have an inspector going and look at these things before you purchase a home at face value.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, people are going to just try and screw you over. Like,
absolutely.
Like, I noticed that there were a couple of homes that have been on the market for like 100+ days. And I'm like, oh, I wonder why. Like, that isn't, why would it just, this house looks amazing. And it's because there's usually a problem with it.
Right.
It's like, oh, you don't see it face value? Oh, well, just go there. Like, I know I saw a couple of houses that had been on the market for 20+ days. And like, one of them was being done by a flipper. And so I go inside this house and it's literally just not even livable. Like, there were cracks in between the windows. I could see the sunlight coming in from underneath the front door. There wasn't even storm windows.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, wow, this house is just waiting for just the first roughly bad storm to happen just for everything to fall apart.
Right.
And like, I'm just like, if you're going to try and flip a house, flip the house, like do the work that you're planning on doing and then sell it. What you're trying, like, this guy is literally just trying to sell it before he actually does all the work. He's hoping that somebody will just buy the house without actually going to look at the house. That's what he's hoping. Like, I remember seeing some stink bugs inside this place and I was just like, oh my gosh, if there's one of these, there's gonna be multiple of these. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, stink bugs are a pretty common thing around here, but like, it does help to have your home sealed and properly built.
Exactly. Like, who knows what else is inside that house? And I loved how the realtor was like, oh, see this? This is a closet. He opens the door and it's a bathroom. The smallest bathroom I've seen in my entire life. I was just like, what on earth? Like, why? Oh my gosh. But it just blew me away.
Just strange.
But luckily, through this whole process of looking at homes, I've kind of gotten a sense of like what I actually care about. Like, one thing I really care about is closet space. I like to be able to have a closet that I can actually put my clothes in.
That's interesting.
And it's very interesting because the houses that I looked at, the houses that are quite old, I would say like 60, 50 plus years old, they have closets. But the closets, let's say you put your hanging clothes in this closet, your hanger is going to be scraping against the wall.
Oh, man.
And I remember just looking at this closet, I'm like, there's all these scrape marks. Mm. Like, it's obvious that someone tried to put hanging clothes in here, but it just doesn't fit. Like, what on earth? Why would this be such a small closet? And so I started to question, oh, back in the old days, did no one use closets? Was everything just folded inside a dresser? I don't know, but that's something that I care about now. I actually want a closet I can put my stuff inside of. And then secondly, I want a bathroom, a master bathroom attached to my master bedroom. I want my own private bathroom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like that, I find that funny and that's interesting because that's like all personal preferences that everybody's going to have. Everybody's going to have their own little thing, little nuanced things that they want in their house. Like, I, for one, I don't really care about closet space. So like, I wouldn't care if I had smaller closet space or such. I tend to fold my clothes. You know what I'm saying? So it's like different preferences in between people. And like that, and then you get into like architectural design and like how houses were built back in the day for like different things and like the culture at the time, like what people preferred, and like how houses are being built now for like the family homes and like urban development and other homes and whatnot based on the needs of the populace. Like you're wanting more closet space. Like what does everybody else want? Like because everybody's got their own personal preferences for a home. Like what decides like the general design for all these homes that are being built today?
Exactly. And, but I guess like to be more clear, it's not necessarily that I need a massive closet. It's just that I want a closet that I can actually put my clothes into.
Right, right. Exactly. So like, but back in the day, the design wasn't focused around that, and whereas like you'll see these designed homes nowadays, they'll have giant walk-in closets that are basically the size of a room that somebody would sleep in back in the day.
And I'll never forget the first home that I went into about a year ago, and boy was this house a wreck. I was a house viewing virgin, and I'm showing up at this house, and they have a garage. The driveway got smaller, so you couldn't even get your car to the garage. I was like, wait, we're, I guess in the old days, like, you know, 60, 50 plus years ago, we just had smaller cars. So it was convenient to pull that off. And I think that's very true. I think that over a year, as the years have been progressing, everything in America has just been getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh, I mean, SUVs and stuff for sure, like all that stuff. And all the housing, everybody, it is wild. Everything is getting bigger.
And like, I remember when I went to New Zealand, my first thought was like, whoa, everything's small. Just because it's not necessarily that it's small. It's just over here, we just make everything so huge.
Hmm.
I don't know. It was just something I had noticed.
That's interesting. Well, I wouldn't know. I've never traveled anywhere, so I've never gotten to see anything outside of the U.S.
Yeah, man. It's a sight to behold. It's literally, honestly, when you go to a new country, it's like you're just visiting like a whole new world.
That'd be so neat.
It's literally like a whole new world that just like you can see how it relates to yours, but it's like it follows its own like culture and social standards and so on and so forth. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. Like how by just being outside of the borders and being controlled by a different government made this country end up so different. You know, it just shows us how much our rulers, our leaders really mold us into what we've become.
Like our leaders and our cultures and religious beliefs and all types of things, like the food sources that are available, like all the dishes that are made. Like you go over to Japan and stuff, everybody, it's seafood. They love it's just a real, it's a super convenient, really good source of food over there, so it's all seafood. Whereas like over here and like where I'm at in the mainland of the U.S. I don't eat seafood at all, like ever. Like I don't.
Oh, really? Never. You don't eat seafood?
No, like never. Like I've grew up and like the way I grew up, we never ever had seafood in our family. We would just eat like terrestrial animals, you know, like cat, like we would have steak, pig, pork, all that good stuff. Poultries, like we would eat turkey and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. And since you lived on a farm, I bet it was super fresh too.
Right, exactly. So we'd get it literally just right off the farm. We'd go out to the chicken coop, do the chicken thing. I mean, I never liked that sort of thing, but, you know, that's what we ate growing up. And we raised Black Angus, and we had horses, and we had, of course, we grew corn, like all your other staple vegetables. But our main crop that we grew was tobacco.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. Buying a home is, luckily, in the modern day, not the most complex process. I remember I walked into it thinking that it would be just impossible. But luckily, like there are apps out there that is kind of streamlined the whole process for you. Like, for example, I'm sure a lot of people have used TurboTax to do their taxes. There are apps out there that do the whole lending process, get you an approval letter through essentially the exact same user experience. So literally you just have an app and you just tell it a couple of things. It's like, cool, awesome, you're approved. Here you go. Literally took me 20 minutes to be approved by a lender. And that could be a number of things. It could be one that I have a really good credit score. They just want me to go ahead and buy something. It could be a number of things. But yeah, luckily there are tools out there that just make it that whole first process so convenient. And that was just like the first step that a lot of people on YouTube are recommending, just to get that first lender. And then second, getting the real estate agent. Actually, no, wait, strike that, not the real estate agent. Second, you want to get a location, figure out where you want to actually live. And that part for me has actually been the hardest thing possible. But it's just like you have to really define, figure out your pros and cons.
I think you're going about it the right way. I'm taking everything into consideration before you go into buying a house, and not rushing the decision is a very good, well thought out thing to do.
Yeah. So lender, location, real estate agent. And then once you find the house you like, do every kind of inspection possible after you make your offer.
And then also when purchasing a home, that some people don't like fail to consider when they're buying a house, they don't consider the property taxes of the land and the house that they're paying for every year. So some people end up messing themselves up thinking that they can afford a home based off of the loan that they get. And then later they end up getting bit for it because they have to owe so much property taxes at the end of the year and they can't afford the house. And then that's a prevalent issue in foreclosures in America.
Oh, I didn't know there was I thought you got tax deductibles because you own an estate. I didn't think you actually got taxed for it.
You do. You have to pay property taxes on your estate every year. You owe the government money for owning your land and your house based off of what they come and value your house at.
That's bullshit.
So when you're buying a house, you have to take that into consideration as well. Even if you're buying a plot of land that doesn't have anything on it, the pure ownership of that land, like just owning the deed to it, you owe money to the government based on the value of what that government says the land is worth.
It costs just so much money to just get to do the first step.
Mm-hmm. And then usually you don't need some, and like some people, you can even dodge the whole real estate agent step. It's just you have to know what you're doing, and you can go get yourself a real estate license and become a real estate agent, and then make your own negotiations on land and property. And it doesn't really take that much time. And then you can cut out that entire fee of having a real estate agent, because they take a pretty hefty percentage of what you're paying on the house in order to make that sale. And all they're being is a middleman between you and another person selling the home. You and another person selling the home, or it's a bank that owns the home that's selling it.
Yeah.
So if you can cut that person out just with a super small step, going and getting that license, which is not really that much. It doesn't take that much time if you really want to do it, if you just bide your time and really find a place that you want to get.
Thing is like, I feel like that's such another thing to add to the huge list.
Right, like, but it is something that you can consider as a young person going into buying a home.
Yeah. I just know, like, Dave Ramsey is always about a 20% down payment and 15-year loan.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a really hard ask. That's, like, that's making it so you don't have to pay PMI. And PMI is essentially private mortgage insurance where you have to pay a fee every month until you hit that 20% on your house. And the reason why that exists is just because the bank, until you pay that 20%, the bank sees this loan as a bad investment. So you have to pay that insurance in case the house gets furloughed. So it protects them, essentially.
Right.
But going to the first thing, the 20% down 15 years, that's just really difficult. Like if you want to buy a $200,000 house, you know, you're paying $40,000 up front.
Right.
That's a lot of money. And that's just for the loan. So that's not including how much it costs for the inspections. That's not including how much it costs to close the house. That's
not including
all the taxes that go into the trading of trading the deed. Like the deed going from one person to the next. There are so many people, so many organizations in the government that just are like, cool, we're getting a piece of this.
And there's a piece for every step of the way that it goes.
Exactly. And it can get really overwhelming. And that's why you really need to know all those prices up front and make sure you have a good lender who can really communicate that to you. It's really it's one of those things that people don't really talk about when it comes to the closing costs. I know with the lender I originally talked to, a lot of when you are first going through all the process, all the steps, they just kind of flash you with how much money, with how much of a house you can buy. They're like, oh, you can get a $300,000 loan. Cool. That's if you go 30 years with a 3% down payment, which is what would make the bank a shit ton of money.
Absolutely.
So, but don't do what the bank just tells you to do off the bat, because they're just trying to get you to spend as much as you can. Make sure you live within your means. Sorry, live below your means, and really make sure that you're buying a house and that whatever that monthly rate is going to be a fourth of your monthly income. Whatever that monthly payment you have to do, a fourth. If it's more than that, you're going to find yourself in a really, really hard place. You are running out of money, and your budgeting is really just starting to, will probably start to give you a headache, especially now with the taxes that Shane has now bestowed me with, knowledge-wise.
Right. And, like, you can check out, you can look up the taxes. You just give it a quick Google, and you can see all the property taxes. I believe in Kentucky, it has some of the lowest in all of America, really. For property, annual property taxes. So, like, you can take that into consideration whenever you're looking at the tri-state area, because the Indiana and Ohio have competitive tax rates. You could, I guess, coin that phrase.
Competitive tax rates. Is that something positive?
I guess so, yeah, because if a town and a city changes their tax rates, it could encourage more of the population to go there, and that would consequently increase the economy in that state and increase the resources there. So, like, I guess technically state by state, because all the different, the state governments all run independently of one another, like, they could change it based on that. Who knows?
Okay. That makes sense.
Like, if you look at it that way, you know what I'm saying? If you're like, like my grandmother, for example, like, she owns her home, like, she owns it completely.
Really?
Like, yes, it's like this. She built it, had it built, and, like, it's paid for it in cash. It's a 3,600 square feet, and it's valued at $300,000.
I believe it.
I think that's what it was valued at. But, like, granted, we sold the farm in order to build that house. But she was telling me, like, her taxes that she has to pay every year. This is, like, how I technically found out about it. But she was telling me some odd rate. Like, last year, they were $25,000 at the end of the year that she had to pay to state taxes for property taxes. And I messed up. She paid $2,580 on the property taxes of her home.
$2,500. Okay, that's...
Yes.
That's still a lot, but that's...
Like, that's an annual fee just to own the home. On top of the mortgage payments you're already making.
Yeah, because the mortgage payments, that's towards the bank.
Absolutely. So, like, if you're paying your mortgage and then you get slapped with this fee at the end of the year that you don't see coming if you're not aware of it.
Yeah, and if you're in a bad place, you might have to pull out another loan in order to pay off that yearly fee.
Right. So you always have to have that little egg hiding for taxes on your property.
I really wonder if that, it being $2,500, I wonder if the fact that your grandmother is on a farm impacts that. Like, the fact that she's out there and she has all that land. Because she still has a lot of land, right?
No, sir. This is based purely off of the house's value. It's not even her land's taxes. That's purely off of the base value of the home, not her property and the lots that she owns.
So I guess the government, like, comes, or I guess if they look it up, what the house looks like, it's like its key statistics, and then defines what that tax is going to be.
And I did check the math, and the Kentucky's property tax just for the home is 0.86% annually, and her home was valued at $300,000, and 0.86 of $300,000 is $2,580 annually.
Okay. What is it for Ohio?
For Ohio, it seems to be 2.41%.
Oh my gosh, that's a huge difference.
And the average, but it's differential between, it's as high as 2.41% in Cuyahoga County, whereas it can be as low as 1.57%. But that's still substantially higher. That's double what Kentucky's property taxes are.
I kind of feel like going to Kentucky is a no-brainer.
Absolutely. That goes back to where I said I did find that Kentucky has the lowest in all of America, it seems.
Yeah. But it shows. Like, if you go to Kentucky versus Ohio, Ohio has way more malls, way more shopping facilities, way more facilities, way more. They have Kings Island. They, like, well, if you go between each state, you can tell that Kentucky isn't as nice.
But then you also get the issue of, like, where are, like, people commonly say that the roads in Ohio are just horrible, and the potholes are some of the worst around in the Midwest. So, like, all that infrastructure isn't actually all together in Ohio. It's really kind of dilapidated, whereas, like, the bridges are really old and not that safe. Like, if all these property taxes are being extracted, why are they spending it on stadiums where instead of, like, investing on fixing the roads and the infrastructure? So many questions.
Well, that's a bunch to chew on.
Right.
Okay, so what's the main thing that we've learned from this whole episode? Really look into what the estate taxes are when you buy a house. Make sure you actually go through the process of a lender. Don't be intimidated by it. And luckily, in the modern day, there are so many tools to make it easier for you. Find a location that matters to you and that you're okay living in the next for 5+ years. Unfortunately, you know, like when you live in an apartment, you really can think short term as in just 1 year. But once you get in that house, you know, it's you got to be comfortable living in that location. And next, we have the real estate agent. As Shane was saying, you can get your own license and just kind of cut that person out of the whole process. And then a 15-year loan was what Dave Ramsey is recommending. Dave Ramsey is a big the big money guy. He's like filed bankruptcy twice, and he's like now a millionaire somehow. So props to him.
Yeah, good job.
And we've all learned that Shane really wants to have a massive farm.
Yeah,
have Redwood on it.
it would be quite a dream of mine to own a plot and keep it protected.
All right, everybody. Well, I think that's all we have for today. Shane, do you have any last words you want to add?
I apologize for my rants.
your rants are pleasant, wonderful, and of course, welcome. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We're so happy that you guys were able to be here, a part of the General Knowledge Force, Mental Explosions, and we hope to see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.